Hi there. Welcome. Andrea and I are together to talk further about the equinox. And as we move into eclipse season, talk a little bit more about the eclipses, the general energies surrounding what is going on right now, and certainly hot topic right off the presses, the announcement from Buckingham Palace, Kensington Palace, all of the
All the
palaces
palaces.
that the Princess of Wales has cancer, and that is why she's been MIA. And I've been fascinated by this story from the beginning. So, Andrea, tell me what's your first hit, first take?
Joanna and I are reeling a little bit. We're keeping it cool, but we are reeling a little bit with this information, because we both follow royal headlines, and I always laughed whenever Meghan Markle would be like, "I never really even knew who the royals were," and I was like, "Oh, shut up! Have you ever stood in a grocery line? I mean, give me a break, right?" So I've always been, I don't know, as entertained as anybody. And Kate's always been the person I've been most interested in and excited by. And I, on a purely superficial level, I love her fashion. I love her grace. I'm like, oh, that's a cute outfit. I mean, I would look to Kate Middleton for my fashion guidance, if ever. By the way, I think it's interesting too. And have I said this? I think I may have said this here. I don't know. Isn't it interesting how we still call her Kate Middleton?
It's a way to bring her, it personalize her, like she's our best friend.
I agree. And yet, no one called Diana Spencer. It was
No.
always Princess Diana. It was
Or
always
even Lady Di or Prince,
Lady
yeah,
Di.
Princess
That's
Di,
right.
Lady Di, yeah.
Well, I guess Kate was never a lady, though, because she was technically a commoner. So, and then I was like, she didn't become a princess until really in the last year when the queen passed away. Before that, she was a duchess. Well, anyways,
True. That is true.
I wanted to also like the care. It was very carefully worded, her announcement, which was they believed it to be non-cancerous, and then further tests show that there was a presence of cancer, she said. And that this chemotherapy is now preventative. So I don't know if this is a little bit of wordplay, if she actually has it, if they found traces of it and what they performed the surgery on, blah, blah, blah. I don't, obviously these details are details. And what was most interesting to me was the way this went viral and the way the story, like someone decided that the announcement they had made that she will not be doing any engagements until Easter, someone decided that wasn't good enough. And there started to be these like, where is Kate? She's hiding, blah, blah. And it's like, didn't they say that she? So, anyways, I watching all those theories like really spin out of control, in my opinion. Some really hilarious content, I will say. I enjoyed the lizard people take. That was fun. Especially the earnestness. Like, I actually love content creators and people that are so adamant about their theory and their point of view. Like, this is what's happening, fist slamming on the table. And it's like, well, in your world, perhaps it is, right? And that's a good dovetail onto like our versions of consciousness and everyone's version of reality sure is creative. So I was a little surprised, but I think also because I'm also a I am an I'm an avoidant. My mom was texting me the other day, like, I hope Kate doesn't have cancer. And I'm like, don't be ridiculous. Of course she doesn't. She's fine. Blah blah blah. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, ah, damn it, you were right, Mom. Like, so I'm hoping that just now that everyone has the story, and I did enjoy her post because I felt like it was a big F you. You know what? Like, I really hope that people feel some shame right now for feeling like they can just, I mean, yeah, she's a royal, yes, public servant, yes, her life is not her own, blah, blah, whatever. And she's a human being dealing with human things. She's got kids. husband. She has a whole huge responsibility on her shoulders. And her grace is, to me, the thing I admire the most, and hopefully people can learn a little bit from. So that's my Andrea is still reeling. But I love what you were, because right before we came on here, you were talking about some of the astrology, which I think is
very interesting. I don't have her chart in front of me, but there's many astrologers that I respect that have been looking at her chart. And I mean, she's got a lot of, she's a Capricorn. She's a stellium of planets in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of energy in that cardinal energy, which is being squared by the Aries Libra axis, where these eclipses are happening. Yes. And so there's a lot of, anyway, also there was something in her progress chart that her progress Mars has just stationed. So, which is, Mars sometimes in medical astrology represents inflammation. It represents surgery. It represents mm-hmm. blood. It represents disease. Mm-hmm. And so there is all these markers that in her chart that this something major was going to be going on. And it was also very interesting because, first of all, with that said, our natal astrology charts are a blueprint, and you can move the charts forward. We know that the planets are continuing to move. So we have what's called the transits, and the transits are affecting and making aspects to our natal chart. There's also other ways to do time framing and moving a chart forward in terms of progressions and solar arcs and things like this, to really give yourself an idea of how your own energetic frequency is going to move throughout your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, this time for her natal chart was always going to be pressured, no matter what, no matter whether she was a princess or not, no matter whether she will be, the head of the queen of, becoming the queen of England at some point, hopefully someday as she moves in her life. This is a major point. And we all have these times in our lives where we're going to get the pressure, and it's going to show up very, very differently for some than others, right? Some of it, us are going to have more family scenarios. Some of us, it might be more around our home, our physical house, people that are like, I need a new roof and I need a new floor and I need a this and someone broke into my home. And, it might be more along those lines. Some might be more career oriented. Some will show up in this case with the medical and, a lot of health issues. So we all have our own, we all have our own stuff, really. And, as my mother likes to say, nobody gets off scot-free. Right? Everybody's got something. And it's just a matter of when, what it is, how involved is it, how long is it going to last, and also our attitude. And I think that one of the reasons I think she does show up graceful. She does show up and doesn't, spew her mouth, which, by the way, is the rules of the royal family, right? Like, mm-hmm. keep your private life to yourself. Don't say anything. What is it? Never explain, never complain, which we're doing right now.
We are.
40-day prosperity challenge. Thank you very much, Remington Donovan, the mystical arts. We are practicing that. So try it for a moment. But I think that there's a lot. And to your point too, of like watching this story take on a life of its own, watching the conspiracy theories, watching people be like, well, I think this and da da da. And, we all have intuition about life and one another and the energies on the planet. So your mother kind of dialing in and saying this could be that, because it works that way. And look, if she had had abdominal surgery and had recovered fully, she might have been ready to come out into the public and start her public appearances and speeches and et cetera, travel schedule. But with this complication, it's going to take a lot longer. And who knows when we'll see her next out in public. And certainly she's like, this is my timeline. This is my life. Mm-hmm. And this is for all of us to respect. That said, we're all one. We're all a reflection. The public, the celebrities in the world, our friends, our family, we're all mirrors to one another. So what's going on with her is what's going on with us. And certainly I would imagine everybody listening here has a friend, a family member, somebody that has gone through surgery, cancer, some sort of deep health crisis. I want to also say personally, I know two women, that young women that had colon cancer. I don't know what type of cancer she has or has had. Mm-hmm. And one of them was in her 30s and had just given birth to her second child, and they found colon cancer and went through a course of treatment. And I have another friend who was in her early to mid 40s when she was diagnosed. And I'm not sure if she had surgery, but she's been in treatment, chemotherapy, literally on and off for the last 6 years. And she is living with cancer, and it is one of those that like might not ever go away. Mm-hmm. And get your colonoscopies, kids. They're recommending now to get it at age 45, unless you have a family history, in which case go earlier. I have had one. It was gnarly, but kind of awesome. And I felt like I was an adult. I was like, oh, I made it. I made it into adulthood. Like, I have adult diseases.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
Preventative care, stay healthy, pay attention, listen to your body.
Dude, your version of adulting.
Medical advice.
Your version of adulting is not my version of adulting. I felt that way when I got a mortgage. I was like, I have a mortgage. I'm an adult. God, so much here. Okay, number one, what were we saying before? The other person is you. The other person is you. And here's the thing. If this is not a call to compassion and a call to like just give people the benefit of the doubt on a human level, it's a good place to start, because you're giving yourself the benefit of the doubt. And even with my compassion for all of the conspiracy theorists and all these like ding dong sisters out there, like with 18 part, 2.3 million views, where's Kate Middleton? And like, all they're doing is rehashing like a People magazine headline. I know this because I looked them all up because I wanted to know. But here's the thing, we want to know. And that's something that's so beautiful about our little limited human curiosity, is we want to know. We want to know what's going on. Why do I feel this way? Why am I hurting? Why am I sad? Why am I having this emotional roller coaster? I actually wrote this down the other day as something to talk to you about on this, which is, must everything be a wave? Must it all be a wave? Must it be a high of like inspiration and breakthrough and vision, and then a low of despair and, oh God, will it ever happen? Like, and then I was like, well, what do you want, Andrea? Do you want to just run a straight and narrow? Do you want to like just be on one steady stream of boring assuredness? Like, don't you like the highs and lows a little bit? Do you enjoy it a little bit?
I would say you do.
I 1,000%. Okay. So, but at the same time, it's like, how fucked up are we that like, you know, so I'm feeling like super excited and motivated and high about this idea that I've had. Right. And then later on that day, maybe I've had a dip in blood sugar and I'm just not feeling so great and I'm low. And immediately I think to myself, I'm like, God, am I actually kind of bipolar? And it's like, wow, how is it that like we think of it as an abnormality to be feeling? Now, granted, there are diagnoses. People really do have very high highs, very low lows. I get it. I'm not in that experience myself. But it's funny how we have these sort of watchwords and watchdogs on ourselves, where it's like, oh no, am I abnormal somehow? And it's like, what, for feeling things? And, you know, I did an old class that Guru Jagat taught, and I think it was Equinox, the Equinox one. And she was talking about thawing. We're just, so many of us are thawing. And in thawing, we're reducing the numbness that we have created for ourselves to deal with a very jagged world, a very fast moving, you know, sometimes it can make you sick the way it just spins so fast. And it's a very brave act. And I think that's part of this Aries energy, this equinox energy, equinox. We are thawing. And with that thawing comes a very raw vulnerability. You know, the baby's born in the world. It ain't, you know, you are not in the safe confines of that cozy little womb. You're out there, kid. Like, here are the loud sounds. Here are the rough edges. Here are the sour tastes. All of it. All right. So that is the gift of equinox. That's the gift. It's like, you know, what we talk about with astrology, you are not given anything you can't handle. Mm-hmm. One side of your chart's challenging. Hey, look at all these gifts on the other side of your chart or that are right there in front of you with you. Yeah. So yes, it's a bright, wonderful, thrilling time. And it's a time where you have the courage. The courage is handed to you in this archetype. So it, you know, it comes in that warrior spirit. You know, we're talking about this woman that we all admire for her, you know, really, she's probably the most royal of any of them that we've seen. She's not working her mouth off or like, you know, creating drama. She is showing up and really holding down this graceful, this sort of graceful image, but also taking herself out when she needs to take care of herself. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really wonderful, that's really inspiring to me. Like when I'm in a place, it's like, I know it's like, I don't want to get it on anyone. Yeah. I haven't figured it out for myself. I'm not ready to make an announcement. Let me go deal with it. Let me go into my study and look at my chart. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think I've just said a lot of things. Go ahead.
Well, you said a lot of very astute things. And I think that it's very interesting to see, again, all of this play out because as we were talking about this equinox and the eclipses that are coming up, the first one on March 25th, which is a full moon lunar eclipse with the moon in Libra, sun in Aries. And then 2 weeks later, the moon meets the sun back in Aries for a new moon solar eclipse, April 8th, which is very important because for us here in the US, because this eclipse, literally the path goes over the eastern part of our country and the sun will disappear. You know, it'll basically, the sky is going to go black for a couple minutes through the time zones over this, from the northeast down through Texas, down into the south, southwest. But the themes of this time, as you've been talking very, I think, eloquently about it, is who am I? What do I stand for? What's important to me? How do I take care of myself? What do I want? Where am I going? What's my intention? Do I have courage to follow my own path, to speak my truth, to show up, to do the work I'm meant to do, to be in my physical body, right? To like, to express my physicality, to express my identity through my body, through my clothes, through my hairstyle, through my tattoos, right? You know, through my glasses, like whatever the thing, the adornment of the physical body, whatever that might look like. And then how do I bring that then to the world, to others in relationship? Am I showing up completely authentically, mm-hmm. or am I giving up a piece of myself? And this is, again, watching her story, I think, is very enlightening along these lines. She said, no, I'm me. I'm number one. I'm taking care of myself. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm dealing with my health. I'm not hiding from the public, but I'm just not showing myself. And the public was like, no. Well, we need you. You're part of us. Your story is our story. You know, what are we going to do without you? How are we going to entertain ourselves? Where are we going to project our insecurities or our joys or our complaints about your outfits and your hairstyles and, you know, your parenting and, you know, your relationship with your husband, right?
Yeah.
And so in that way, the public really has just kind of spun out on itself. And then to then see her come back and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still me. I'm doing my thing. Let me do my thing. And in that, she's teaching us a lesson too. We have to do our thing. Why are we projecting on her? That makes literally no difference in our lives. Literally. Yeah. It's like whatever we think of her has nothing to do with anything.
It's like, who cares? But like at this point, it's like, okay, someone we care about very much who is in a very powerful leadership position in the world. We need those. You know, I was saying to you, like, they're the best thing they've got. She's the best thing they've got. Like, I mean, in my opinion, I think Anne's amazing too, Princess Anne. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, I think we know all we need to know here. If you care about it, you pray for her, you think about like, again, just the people around you, like everyone knows someone who's going through this, if not themselves, going through something like this. And it's like, at this point, let's think about where we're putting our attention and energy. Where are we directing our consciousness, which, as we know, is a very precious commodity at this time. At this time, I mean, we're about to go into eclipse season, and I know you're going to say something about that because I think it's really important. But like, we were taught this from our teachers that, you know, consciousness is one of the main commodities of this Aquarian age. And I don't know. I do it too. I go into scroll mode, and 10 seconds, 30 seconds of my precious, precious human consciousness just got sucked into some clickbait. Mm-hmm. And I mean, whatever, right? Like we've talked about this a lot. We'll always talk about this. But at this point, it's like, where can I best put my attention? Where is the energy? Because if I put the attention and energy in something positive for this woman who I've never even met, then I'm putting this positive energy in a direction for myself, for everyone around me. And how would I want to be treated if I were her? Would I want to be out in some Alexander McQueen waving, pretending that I didn't have some cancer gnawing away at me? No, I don't think so. I think I'd probably be, you know, laying low, taking care of myself. But you had said, let's talk about, because I think it's interesting too, the timing of this.
Yeah.
I didn't really look at the chart today, but it's like, this is an interesting timing to me, especially we're 3 days out from the first eclipse.
So. Yeah, we're 3 days out from the first eclipse. I think that, well, the moon's moved into Virgo.
Moon. Yeah, yes. Okay. So this is something that I wanted to have said before in our last podcast, where we talked about Aries ruling the body, because Virgo rules health.
Yeah, health and healing. Yeah.
I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit, because where does the Virgo play in here then? I mean.
Well, okay. As you actually very eloquently said too, like the 12th house is the womb space. It's that like watery, nebulous, subconscious frequency where we're, you know, kind of wandering out in the vastness, in the sea of consciousness and the subconscious and the unconscious, but really out into the frame of the frequency of the universe, of the universal life force and love force. And it's really supporting us and helping us grow.
Yeah.
And from the 12th house, you know, that's the culmination. And then after the 12th, we go back to the first. We come back into the body. We show up as who we truly are, our identity. And the body is, you know, our bones and skin and our fascia and our nervous system and, you know, our joints and tendons and all of the stuff that's holding us together in the 3D, it's dense, right? There's a density to it where we don't have that in sort of that 12th house, like watery energy. But we come into, we have this, the fire of Aries is that spark of life. in astrology, it's both this first house, like physical form, 3D, tactile, like the vibe, yeah. like what we're here, what we're doing. And then we kind of learn how to be and what we stand for and how to live and be in the body and how to show up with and learn about relating to other people and what we like, et cetera, et cetera. And the sixth house, Virgo's house, is that, as you mentioned, sort of the house of healing and health. Health is not, it's a state. It's a frame of mind in many ways. And it is a consciousness and it is an energy field, right? We, you and I both sometimes listen to Joe Dispenza, and he's all about, and many, obviously, there's a whole collective of people that are in canon of people that are interested in this is, you know, thoughts become things, right? Mm-hmm. Our mind in many ways is telling us, telling the body how to be, how to show up. And so our health in many cases is ruled by our brains, our consciousness, our where our attention goes, right? Yes. Where our attention goes, energy flows. Mm-hmm. And don't forget too, it's like the food that we ingest, yes. the media that we ingest, the environment, the pollution in our neighborhoods or whatever. I mean, when I was growing up in Los Angeles, every night on the news, there was an air quality monitor conversation about how bad the air quality was going to be the next day. Mm-hmm. And then in the 70s and 80s, they changed, you know, the blanking on the name of the law that came in, but the EPA stepped in and they started monitoring air quality and they put some laws down. And particularly in California, we have different emission standards for our gasoline and things like this. And the reason is because the air quality was so terrible, kids could not play outside.
Right.
And it was causing a lot of problems. And it's not like that anymore. So by the way, government intervention isn't always bad. Sidebar.
Well, totally.
Get it. But all of these pieces contribute to the health, right? So it's not just that sort of first house, like come out of the body and everything, it's all there all at once. No. It actually takes things that affect us, right? Experiences that we've had, conversations, you know, limiting beliefs, like people saying like, oh, you know, you shouldn't eat that. It's not healthy for you. And don't eat too much peanut butter. That was you. Peanuts are fungus.
I mean, like a little peanut butter is fine. I mean, a little bit's fine.
So anyway, I guess my point is that there's an accumulation of life that happens. Mm. And all of these things affect our health.
I love that.
And it's not just one. So for all of us that are very interested in our health and healing, I have a lot of planets in the sixth house. I'm obsessed with my health. I'm obsessed with what I eat, how often I eat, how much I eat, the combination of foods that I eat. Is the exercise appropriate for the amount, you know, like the calories in, calories out? No, it doesn't work that way. Maybe it's, you know, my mind and let me clear up my mind and all the negative thought forms, whatever it is. There's a lot of energy here. Mm-hmm. So for people that have a lot of activity in Virgo or in the sixth house in their astrology charts, health and healing is very much a theme. They might be healers or doctors or nurses or people that are in the field for their career of the work that they do and the time that they spend paying attention to it.
Yeah. And Chiron is the sort of assumed leader of the sixth house at this point. I mean, and Mercury originally. And then when they discovered Chiron, he was sort of assigned the sixth house, which is the wounded healer. And I mean, this is the Aquarian age where it's like, we all have a wound. We all look to heal the wound. And once we've healed the wound, we look to see how we can help others heal the wound. And I think that's, you know, it's for many of us that are in this realm, pursuing wellness, pursuing improvement, whatever, it's because we know that there's something to experience from that. And honestly, like you really, the best healers are ones who have experienced it. The best teach, you know, you want to learn something, teach it. Like the best, but you know, it's sort of like when people with kids come to me, I'm like, listen, I can say so much, but honestly, I have not had kids. So I just don't have that imprint. I just don't have that experience, that lived experience to draw off of. And I'm very mindful of that. Like, and I think that's why when we look at the different kinds of lives we've all led, it's like, listen, we've all had experiences somewhere. We've all grown from some experience. Maybe you were bullied. Maybe you had an eating disorder. Maybe, you know, there's always, there's something, unless you're one of those unicorns that doesn't have to ride the wave and just soars on that easy highway of everything's groovy. And you know what? They can help each other out. Maybe, I don't know. But the other thing about Virgo that I always think about too is just it's systems. It's like it's a system. It's a system. It's how everything circulates and moves and organizes itself. And you know, the shadow of Virgo is looking too closely at one detail and not being able to see the big picture of how the system as a whole runs. So I love that, because I mean, Aries has this sort of chaotic, explosive, like, ta-da! Like, here I am, you know, I'm a baby and just like, wah! And then by the time we get to Virgo, it's okay. I sit with my napkin in my lap. I use utensils. I digest my food. I let, you know, for me, I don't obsess over, not that I don't think you obsess, but I don't pay so much attention to, I like to find one system and just kind of stick to it and have confidence in it and not worry about it, not just kind of let it do its thing. You know, when I talk about doing Bikram, it's like, I know yogically what it's doing for me. And I trust that it's detoxifying everything I need to detox. I trust that it's kind of doing the job for me. So I don't have to really think about it. And same thing with any exercise practice, like figure out your diet and hold it loosely. Like, you're also a Taurus rising. So, I mean, Taurus rising wants, I mean, the thing is, you are kind of like against each other, not against each, but you're kind of like, you're in conversation a lot more because you're thinking about the physical lovelies of being in this human body, like the lovely things to eat and touch and own and have. And then your sweet little Virgo knocks on the door and has a little clipboard and is like, well, does this check this box?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We all have, as you mentioned, I think that's, it's good to presence that we all have our own way and our own approach on how we deal with this. And some people are more the Virgo obsession can take over, right? But and in some cases, hopefully it doesn't go too far down that rabbit hole and there's more space to allow, because balance. If you are, and balance, and because if you are going through some kind of healing journey, it is important to have some, like, to have the balance and to have the understanding that we're in charge of our own health. We're in charge of that, the energy moving through our body. And again, what media are you watching? What food are you eating? You know, who are you surrounding yourself, your friends, your family? What is their frequency? Are they contributing to the problem? Are they helping you through the thing that you're moving through and that kind of thing? So anyway, she does have planets. Back to Princess Kate. These Capricorn planets are in the sixth house. So very much it's part of her. Yeah, it's part of her life. It's part of her journey in this lifetime. And it also is probably part of why she has compassion and is now, you know, for others that are going through their own healing crisis, and that she's having that experience. As you said, sometimes we have these experiences to go through them in order to teach them or model them or show them to others that you too can experience this with grace or with, you know, clarity or, you know, with compassion. And so that we, again, we're all models. We're literally fractals of one another. And I just, it's not at all ironic to me that this is happening in eclipse season, like at all. It's perfectly divinely timed. And other thing I wanted to say about the eclipses too, is that, you know, the eclipses, the experience of the eclipse is when the sun in a solar eclipse gets hidden. It literally disappears from the sky in the middle of the day. And the lunar eclipses are the same, where it's a full moon and then the full moon literally disappears because the earth is moving between the sun and the moon, and the earth's shadow turns that full moon into a new moon. And it's like a very accelerated time jump, or a time lapse, you could even say, if you're, you know, time doesn't move in a forward direction. It just is. So, but there is a splintering, a split of this time frame. And you and I talk a lot about timelines as well, of like, well, what timeline do you want to be on? Do you want to hop onto a new frequency? Do you want to go back to something that happened before? Maybe that one was better. Most likely not. But to find, because the other is that all of these frequencies and energies are moving all at the same time. We could technically just hop around from one to another.
This is fascinating. I have never thought of it this way, what you just described, which is on March 25th, we're having a full moon eclipse, which technically, because the moon is being eclipsed by the sun, technically makes it a new moon, a dark moon.
Dark moon. Yeah.
Wow. No. This is like wild to me, because I've never, thank you. I've never thought of it this way. So we're basically, you know, Michael Lennox talks about the reboot. It's like you turn off your computer and you reboot it, and that's the first eclipse. And then you have what he calls the wormhole. A lot of people call it that, from one eclipse to another, where now, in terms of functionality and practicality, to me, if you're in a wormhole of a 2-week period, that the vision I get is just sort of that scene in Poltergeist when she opens the door and all the toys are like flying around and the little guy on the horse like gets in her face and shit. Like, I kind of see it as that. Like, that's, and I don't know if that's the best way to look at it. But to me, it's like everything's up in the air. Everything's moving. We're sort of in an antechamber. We're between worlds, where it's a liminal space. And on that April 8th eclipse, that's our exit. That's our that's the door we're going to go out on. And that's when we opt for the best possible timeline, or the, you know, what gate do you want to get out at? And so I'm wondering then, can we then back to the sort of artificial new moon scenario. Mm-hmm. So that to me says that, like, make some loose intentions. Don't hold on to anything, because everything's moving and shifting, right? And really, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's like, what do you do with that time, those 2 weeks?
This is a great question.
Yeah.
Move,
I don't mean to be on the spot, but
move your crystals.
Yes.
Move energy. I mean, that would probably be part of the answer to this, is move energy. My thing too is just really pay attention, because if you've got a bunch of balls up in the air or toys inside the fake refrigerator, whatever analogy you'd like to use, which one do you want to pick? Mm. What timeline do you want to move toward? Yeah. Which, you know, and again, thematically, we're back to this Aries Libra. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? Am I me when I'm with you?
Mm-hmm.
Am I turning into you for some reason? Are you turning me into somebody that I don't like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where can I be honorable, honoring, strong, courageous, you know, happy,
yeah,
clear,
You know what's so interesting? So back in the day, I got my colors done in LA. This woman did my colors and showed me my color palette. And that's a whole.
You're a winter.
I'm a winter, yes.
Thank
and
you.
Yes. When I went, we're both beautiful. And it's funny because when I went blonde, I was like, surely this will change my palette. And she's like, you're platinum winter now. And I'm like, oh, okay. Here's the thing though. Something she said was so interesting to me. And she said that before, you know, the people's before photos with before they got their colors done, they would dress for their partner. So it was so fascinating to me. I was wearing colors that looked great on Ian. And in college, I would dress in colors that looked great on my best friend. And, you know, I'm walking around, I'm like, I have all this army green. And she's like, throw that out. Don't ever put that on again. Don't touch that. Like, don't ever do that again. And, but to your point, like, are you making me someone I don't want to be? Am I, it's like, it's that codependent conversation. Like, where do I end and you begin? And I love this too. And again, let's just not attach to anything because everything's moving. So 2 weeks are going to go by and there's going to be a lot of phenomena. There's going to be all kinds of energy kicking up, kicking all around. And I mean, what better time than to use the royal phrase, keep calm, carry on, right? Like, I also love the idea of really dedicating myself back to mantra practice and just making sure that knowing there's going to be all this phenomena and thoughts and energy spinning around, I'm going to walk into the poltergeist room probably, you know, every day there's going to be an opportunity to walk into the poltergeist room. So what would you do? You can freak out or you can believe it. You can decide that this is exactly how things are, or you can be like, oh, right, it's eclipse season. Everything's kind of crazy. Satnam, 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 Satnam. I'm cool.
Yeah. I think too, we're talking this way because we understand the energy. And a lot of people but a lot of people don't, and they're not walking around going like, it's eclipse season, like shit's gonna happen, blah blah blah, you know, which is also very fine, and then good for them. But I liked what you said earlier about, you know, we focusing and really tuning into our own consciousness, where we're spending our time and energy, what we're thinking about. We can only control ourselves. And by the way, control, I want to also say, is one of those words that I'm using less and less frequently, because I don't necessarily think that like we are in control, because then I go into that sort of like, who's we, who's I, what does that mean? But to be present, to show up for our soul, our carnal, our energetic kernel, our own individual frequency, to honor that, to follow that, where it's going, et cetera. There's always something better. There's always something more.
Absolutely. And
the negative talk in our head is not serving us, most likely. It's that, you know, the reptilian brain, right? It's keeping us safe. It's wanting to make sure that we cross the street, look before while crossing the street, right?
Yeah.
It wants to make sure that, you know, we're not going to just like fall into a bathtub of steaming hot water. Pay attention, watch these energies, because we're also the ones that are creating, as we are creating our reality, for example. And if you're opening the poltergeist door, all of that shit's yours. It's ours. It's like, we've created those things.
Yeah.
And they're all vibrating at different frequencies. We get to pick the one that we want to go towards.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's literally going to bang us over the head. You know, if it's one person that shows up or one argument that all of a sudden surfaces, or if it is a diagnosis, a medical diagnosis of some kind that is going to change your world, whether it's you or a family member, you know, pay attention. And certainly these relationships, we can reframe in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And this challenge, by the way, this, you know, no complaining challenge, it's a true gift, because first of all, what do you really have to complain about? Right. And yeah. Second of all, there is a gift in every opportunity. There's an opportunity and a gift in every scenario.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in traffic. I get to listen to this podcast a little bit longer, or I'm going to make a phone call to my best friend who I haven't talked to in a long time, or I'm going to schedule that doctor's appointment for my kid while I'm sitting here. You know, mm-hmm. all of those, everything is an opportunity to shift to a more proactive experience.
And let's talk about, too, the fact that, you know, a full moon is an opposition. It's a sun opposing moon. So whatever extreme you're staring down the barrel of, there is an equal and opposite available energy, reality, story. I mean, look, I was looking at some accounting and I'm like, wow, this looks a little extreme. And there is an equal as powerful opportunity balancing this. And I'm going to tune into that. I'm going to look in that direction. I'm going to feel that. I'm going to sit for a second, receive a breath, calm myself down or whatever. And I'm just going, and I'm going to feel in my body. What in my body, what does it feel like when I tune into that equal opposite energy? Mm-hmm. And oh, it feels good. And I mean, this is how we change our reality. This is how we change. This is how we turn the train around. Mm-hmm. So many people I talk to, and I myself sometimes feel like I don't have control over, you know, my mind or whatever. And it's like, I do though. We do have control. Now, something someone said to me once, which was very helpful, is you can control maybe 10% of your life. And I think that's something to remember too, and to feel very normal about. It's like, listen, there's, and interestingly enough too, I was thinking about that, you know, the whole point of sadhana, mm-hmm. is 10%, that the underlying spirit of it is that's your seva, that's your tithe. You're tithing 10% of your day to devotion, to spirit, to whatever you want to, you know, whatever, your higher self, like 10%. Yeah. That's why it's like a 2.5 hour long sadhana. Now, granted, we're all like, well, I mean, we won't get into the Virgo checklist of if you're doing the right sadhana. The right sadhana is the right sadhana. 3 minutes yeah. a day is 3 minutes a day. And I do think it's interesting that like if this were true, you can only control 10% of your life, and the invitation is to do a 10% of your day devotional practice, 2.5 hours, it kind of makes sense. It's like, I can control my sadhana. I can control yeah. how much I breathe and how much I chant and the time spent on the mat. And I also believe everything's holographic. I think the part is in the whole. So if you did 3 minutes, that's 300 hours in another time-space continuum.
And it also opens us up to more like discovery, right? Yeah. And more experience. If you approach that day of, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, right? From A Course mm-hmm. in Miracles. You're opening up possibilities and just chance and for something greater and more interesting and more exciting and more fun. I mean, who knows?
You're letting the right one in. Let the yeah. right one in.
I also just want a presence. Like, I really was super negative, like, for most of my life. So I want to just like honor all of the negative people out there, the negative tendencies that we all have of like, oh, what's today going to be like? Oh, another of that, which is part of, you know, existence. It's like, oh, I have to make a phone call, you know.
Let me say this though, because something, you know, in the numerology and in the yoga, in our yogic practice, you know, the negative mind is also called the protective mind. Mm-hmm. So my sort of discoveries lately has been, you know, I wake up with that, ugh, you know, and listen, I think that a lot of us are here to do energy work. And when we're asleep, we're off having a good time. Like, we don't have the fetters and the conditions and the limits of being in a physical body. And so I always look at myself as just like that crash landing every morning, cranky alien, like, ugh, this shithole again. It's, I mean, not a shithole.
But it's very similar. I'm like, when I wake up in the morning, I actually, in the last week, I've noticed I haven't done it, but almost the first word is fuck. Like, I'm awake. Like, oh, this is life. Oh, I got to get up. Oh, my alarm. Ugh, fuck. It's dark out. Oh, it's cold. It's da da da. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah.
Well, let me just
try over it, honestly. And I've made a concerted effort to change it so that my first words are not quite similar.
Well, okay. So here's some presencing though, you know, be kind to yourself, because maybe we're not being negative. Maybe we're being protective, because we wake up and, you know, this is something a mentor had said to me. It's like, the first thing is, tell yourself, am I safe? I am safe. Because I think that we might be diverting some of that negative mind, or we might be diverting protective mind into negative mind, where it's like, ugh. It's like, well, hey, no, are you safe? Are you warm? Like, is there a bathroom nearby? Do you have some water? So that's one thing I would say, just to help yourself talk yourself out of even that there's a problem here. It's like, actually, it's just your way of protecting yourself, because yeah, you've been off in the ethers in Never Never Land, dream time, subconscious waters, whatever, where like, you know, you can be starring in a movie with Brad Pitt, or you can be being chased by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Who knows? Choose your own adventure. Now you're in your body, you're on Earth, back to work, back to life, back to all of it. So maybe this is just our way of deflecting the fact that we're scared. We have fear. It's, am I safe? Yeah, you're safe. I mean, many of us hopefully are safe. Some people are not safe, but are you safe right now? Yes, mm-hmm. You're safe. Number two, the first day of every month, I have this little, I don't know if it's folklore, but the first day of every month, and I've also heard at midnight. So if I'm still awake at midnight, I set my alarm so I don't say the wrong thing. But I say rabbit, rabbit. It's just an old, I don't know if it's English or where, how far back it goes, but it's supposed to like bring you good luck or something for the month. Or that's the first, it's either rabbit, rabbit or white rabbit. I think it's rabbit, rabbit. That's what I say. And then I say white rabbit just to cover my tracks.
Afterwards. I learned it. I definitely had this as a child. I knew it as a child, since childhood, I should say. And it was rabbit, rabbit for me here. Yeah. West Coast.
So, you know, instead of having that first word be fuck at the beginning of the month, and I think I've done that before where I've been like, ah, damn it. So, you know, you could train yourself just to have a safe word, Joanna.
I'd like it to be Satnam. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It is improving. Okay. I want to talk for our last little bit, because I feel like this has been a very interesting conversation. I really do want to talk about crystals. So one of the things, and again, we should have a longer conversation about this, about why we work with crystals and when we work with crystals and how we work with crystals. But for the number one equinox and number two eclipses, do you have specific crystals that you feel like are representing this energy? And again, pursuant to this conversation, that really feels appropriate in terms of that self other vibe.
Yeah. So I posted my first YouTube video, Joanna.
Yay.
And I went into all the equinox. I'm going to say equinox and you say equinox. And that way we're satisfying the many ways of agreeing to disagree. Okay. So for the equinox, I love all the red crystals. So carnelian, if we ever show this video, you can see this carnelian. I love carnelian because it really represents that Aries chaotic fire. It looks very biological. It looks like there's just blood and veins and heart pumping but life force, you know, yeah. Life force, like get the blood pumping. That's a very Aries energy. I also love hematoid quartz, which is quartz that has hematite that has been oxidized within. So it has these sort of,
I really like this too. It's more, it looks more pinkish.
Yeah. Well, that's just because red plus white equals pink, but, so, but you can see, hematite tends to, it grows. I don't know how to say it, but like it forms in blade patterns. So that's why you'll have these lines going through a hematoid quartz. Sometimes now the stuff I have here is natural. Sometimes they heat treat it. That doesn't bother me. Just to bring up my mom's texting me about Kate Middleton.
My mom called too.
Oh my gosh. We're all very concerned.
We should compare notes. Your mom's going to say, I was right. I knew it was cancer. I don't know. I'm not sure what my mom's going to say.
Kate Middleton is like the daughter our mothers wish they had. And she's the daughter we wish we could be.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then I also have red quartz and tangerine quartz. And so this is where the hematite is on the outside of the quartz. Mm. So it also oxidizes, and that's why it gives it this coating.
Yeah, it's like a rusty kind of coating.
And I also, this will dovetail us into the eclipses, because I love the red quartz, because the quartz, of course, is a moon cure in our astrological feng shui. And then the oxidized hematite is the red, that's the Aries. So anyone with like an Aries moon.
Sorry, hold on. That really looks like a dragon.
This one? Oh, yeah. Wait till you see that. Well, why do you see what else I got? Oh,
there's like a whole face in there. Okay. Yeah. Right. Wow. Okay. That
Joanna's a dragon.
Who owns that piece?
What's that?
Somebody needs to buy that piece.
All right. Well, I'll put it on my Instagram.
It might be me, but yeah.
I think I owe you a crystal.
Have a piece. I bought a gorgeous red quartz from you. Yeah. That I love. Absolutely.
And that was before I was like doing this quote unquote professionally. I mean, this was like early on.
That was early. Yeah. It was a big piece.
What good friends we were going to be. I know. All right. So those were my Aries and also sunstone. Sunstone's a funny one because it can traverse different archetypes and different signs. I do like the sun, but sun and Aries, sunstone, I think is a good one. And then for the eclipse, I like the more bang for your buck way of doing things, which means it's a sort of Reese's peanut butter cup of peanut butter and chocolate make a great snack. Back to the peanut butter.
And Mars so and Venus came together in this gorgeous cosmic egg called
this is a ruby fuchsite. And so ruby, garnet, those are Aries stones. Those are Mars stones. And then fuchsite, zoisite, those are Libra stones. So they're green, Venus. So when you have a ruby fuchsite, you have that Aries-Libra connection. And it's really pretty. And it's very spring-like. I think these look like gorgeous little Easter eggs, these ruby fuchsite Shivas. I also have, now this is where we get into the dragons. The ruby zoisite is ruby in zoisite. And zoisite's just a sort of a deeper green than fuchsite. It's they're both kind of flaky mica when they're rough. So I have some half polished and I have some rough also. And then I have polished. And so you've got, again, you've got the ruby for the Aries and then you've got the green for the Libra. So it balances the two opposites in a really beautiful way. And then this weirdo is a garnet fuchsite. So this is the first garnet that I've brought into this. And then the fuchsite is this in the rough form. And this has total dragon vibes to me. It also has, it has like a powerful warrior angel feel.
Like, I was just going to say, it looks like an arrowhead.
There's something really warrior to the shape of the fuchsite, which is interesting because warrior, of course, is our Aries and Mars, avatar. So those are my quick, just for this podcast. Obviously people can have a reading with you and get way more in depth with where the eclipses are touching on the chart. And also of course, where, you know, what's going to be what this chart looks like for the next 3 months. And of course you can talk to me too, and we can look at other options because you can always pair crystals together. Like you could put a rose quartz very simply for Venus and Libra next to a ruby or a garnet or a piece of carnelian. You can just clump those together and in the general space of the chart where that is. Go ahead.
I was thinking too that, so eclipse energy, well, we know equinox lasts 3 months or 6 months, this is all of these are like 3 months, 6 months, or a year. It's up to you. I think if it's something that's specific that you truly are working on, for example, like I'm resetting how I relate to my family, or I'm in a business partnership and I'm not standing up for what I believe in enough. And this is, you know, I gotta use my words or whatever the thing is, or fight for what I believe in. Or I, you know, in my business partnership, for example, maybe I want to bring in more compromise, right? I'm the one that I find that I'm blocking the energy moving forward, or these deals that really are in the benefit of the greater good. Like, let me work out a way, whatever the scenario is that you're working on through these archetypes. You can use these crystals for, you know, keep them by your desk, keep them by your bed, put them on your altar. You could wear them. I mean, some of these emeralds, you might have jewelry with emerald or ruby or garnet. I had a gorgeous garnet necklace that I got from my mother many years ago. So, you know, it's like, that's the kind of thing too. It's an adornment and it's an energy frequency that you're bringing in, and you get to play with it however you like.
And the other thing that I like, that I tell people if they ask or if they don't ask, you know, we're very visual people. We're working off of visual cues. And just by setting up a little altar, it doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be big, but just a little acknowledgement of, oh, that's my altar for the equinox. I took care of that. I got that. Oh, again, not everyone knows they're walking through an eclipse portal, but obviously people listening to us probably have an inclination. So it's like, whoa, everything's spinning crazy, blah, blah, blah. Take it, just, you know, sit by your altar, take it in, take in the order that you have created, and just trust the process. Trust that you're safe. And, you know, you are not the phenomena. You are the master of this space. You are not the phenomena. You are not the behavior of another person. That's not you, and that's okay. And you're contained enough within yourself that this phenomena can do whatever it's doing. But, you know, just back to our princess, of course, you know, what I really hope is happening for her is that she is in control and in autonomy with, you know, her body, her life, her choice. I really, you know, this whole body and medical autonomy, like, this is a major, major issue for us and many people. And it's something that I really want to honor is let's all take a look at this now, right? If you suddenly got a diagnosis, you'd want to say in things like, you know, what do you want? What advice are you listening to? And how can you discern? And what's the truth of the matter? Like, what's your gut telling you? Like, yeah, let's try this. Yeah, let's try this. Oh, know what? That doesn't feel right to me. This is more of a priority right now, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we do have free will. We do have choice. And when we choose to create a little system of order for ourselves that at least we can return to periodically, whether it's the order of having a mantra, the order of having an altar, the order of having one person you know you can call that isn't going to, like, you know, react and project back onto you. I mean, I think people, it's very important that we have people like those in our lives who are just going to listen. And, you know, one of the best things Ian brought into our relationship when we first started dating was I'd be going off about something and he'd say, okay, well, do you want me to respond or do you want me to just listen? And I was like, wow.
That's some high emotional EQ.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, when someone comes to you, do you want me to respond or do you want me to listen?
Yeah.
Because I think we also have a tendency to make things about us. That meme, I think I sent it to you or I posted it where it was like, waiting for you to hurry up with your story so I can interject my story about something similar, except I'm the star of that story.
This will be a very dynamic couple weeks. Definitely excited to see what comes up over the course of this. But we'll keep talking and we'll keep sharing, and hopefully people will reach out to you for some crystals. I am very impressed by these. I don't know. Might have to get them myself. We'll see.
Can we just throw in the one thing we had talked about? And what's a book you're reading? Or like, what's something that we're using to entertain ourselves? Or you want to do that?
Can I research that? I don't know. I just finished a book for my book club.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't remember what it was called. It's 30 minutes. That's it. It's 30 minutes of discussion.
There was this movie called, what was it called? Oh gosh. They made a Will Ferrell movie about it later. It was like, it was about college grads and, like, actually Noah Baumbach, I think it was his first movie. And he'd gone to Vassar. So we all watched it because we were, Kicking and Screaming. That's what it was called. Okay. Kicking and Screaming. And it was always about these college grads with, like, absolutely no direction whatsoever after graduation. And that was actually our sort of cautionary tale while we were students at Vassar, because we were like, oh, this is what's going to happen. We're going to graduate and have no fucking clue what we're going to do. But two of the characters started a book club, Eric Stoltz and this other actor. And Eric Stoltz is like, well, you know, I was really fascinated by the trajectory and blah, 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 blah. And he starts, like, pouring out all this, like, literary criticism. And the guy who's in the only other member of the book club, Otis, he's like flipping the book around. He's like, yeah, I really liked what the Admiral said. And he's, like, clearly reading off the back of the book. And Eric Stoltz is like, Otis, you didn't read the book. And he's like, I'm going to. And he's like, Otis, if you don't read the book, we have to disband the book club.
Takes two to tango.
All right. Well, we'll bring that into our conversations, but we do want to, that is a direction we will be taking this podcast at some times, where we'll just an offshoot podcast, whatever that means, where we talk about the books on our book stands, because I think, I don't read
them. You have them, you read them. So it's inspiring for me to read them.
I start them.
I start them too. But I get like 10 pages in, you get 100.
You know what? If it catches me, if it keeps me going, I'm into it. Like I did read the Capote and the Swans book, which was very interesting and fun. So, but the thing that and this does sort of loop into what we were talking about with where are we putting our consciousness. And the thing that I love about having just a physical book is I put the phone down and I have the book in front of me and I am going into a little separate reality of my own choosing. Now, then I may put the book down and look something up on the phone because, wait, Babe Paley was her, what happened? Wait, was she really from there? And, you know, away we go. But okay, well, how should we wrap this up, dear? We have all the connectivity in our show notes, right? We do. So if you want to do a session with Joanna and go more deep into your chart and just see where these energies are playing out in your personal life, because that's what the houses indicate, are where things show up in our personal lives. And then if you want to crystallize anything, you can of course reach out to me. I am open. I actually have a session with someone coming up where we're just going to have a one-on-one. So, I love doing that. I love helping people kind of, do you want me to listen or do you want me to respond? so we have that going on. And, you know, we are continuing to also just grow this and find different ways of broadcasting the platform. And I have a YouTube going. And are you going to get a Substack going, Joanna?
I might. I've been thinking about it.
Okay. Yeah. So we're just going to keep adding to our link trees until... All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We'd love a review. Give us feedback, but privately if it's not nice, because we love doing this, we're going to keep doing this. So thanks for listening.